Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon.
Ho, ho, ho is probably how Danielle Staff introduces herself to Santa Claus. And it's also a reminder that we are now in the holiday season and nothing says holidays and charitable efforts and merry cheer quite like purchasing Andy's Girls merchandise. Yes, that's right. We now have an official Andy's Girls merch store available on TeePublic. And guess what, you guys? It couldn't have been easier. There's a link to purchase on the description for this week's very magical, very special episode of Andy's Girls. You can get hoodies, you can get t-shirts, you can get buttons, stickers, notebooks, mugs, anything your heart imagines. My God, I really actually do believe that Coupon Cabin purchased his engagement ring for Tinsley after being inspired by the beautiful designs and, you know, like illustration of me that's available on a t-shirt. My God, the love that that brings, the joy that that brings, the merriment that that brings. It's just almost unbelievable, except it's totally believable because it's available today. And you guys, special holiday pricing. And that sale is whatever is listed on the website, which is magical and also not, unfortunately, set by myself. But really, do yourself a favor. And by yourself, I mean my checking account. And get yourself or your sister, brother, mother, father, puppy, office mate, hated boss, and Andrew's Girls mug today. OMG. Merry Jewish and enjoy this week's episode of Andy's Girls. I don't need an ice tray to give you a chill.
I may be literary, but don't trip. Country bitches still live.
That was you guys, we have a writer in the hiss. I died for it. This is going to be quite an episode. I can feel it already. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 136.
Oh, wow.
Which
she works.
She does. And I was trying to think to myself, how many taglines have I done? Because for some of the apps that have been like recaps or Bravo Liberty stuff, I haven't necessarily begun. But I've done over 100. So at this point, they're just like, hey.
Yeah. They're like, I've put in the work. You get it. She's clever. We got it.
You guys, it's Andy's Girls 136, and I'm so excited to be joined by a new guest on the People's Couch. And the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Arsenault, the New York Times bestselling author of maybe the best title of all time, I Can't Date Jesus, Love, Sex, Family, Race, and Other Reasons I've Put My Faith in Beyonce.
Will she do it?
And his second book, I Don't Want to Be Poor, which chronicles his struggles with private student loans and actual economic anxiety. Just kidding. It's being rewritten now, is now available for pre-order. What did I fuck up?
I don't want to die poor. That makes people laugh. Yes, it's fine. Close enough.
What did I say?
Be poor. I don't want to be poor either.
Oh my God. And I had die poor down.
It's all right.
Oh my God. Well, I don't want to both be or die poor.
Yes.
So it does work. And when is it? When is it like out?
It will be out April 7th, 2020. Pre-orders matter. It helps, you know, particularly marginalized members of the community make the list. It actually helps people order my books. You know, I might have made the list the first time, but I'm still black and gay, so we got to work through that.
Yes.
And I'm actually hoping my first Real Housewife endorsement from Candace Dillard for I Can't Date Jesus will help me. In the meanwhile, I'm trying to get more Bravo people to read my work.
Okay, so are you a Candace stan? I mean, it's great that y'all have collabed before.
You know what's so interesting? She actually found me online because of my book. I didn't realize that she... So we both went to Howard University. She's younger than me.
Okay.
So she was on campus and someone gave the book to her and she reached out to me and said the nicest things about the book, particularly about how I write about my complicated relationship with my mom, obviously.
Oh my
God.
That
related to her if you watch The Real Housewives of Potomac. Which,
holy shit.
Which along with New York to me is like the best of the franchises right now.
Completely.
No disrespect to Atlanta, but the crab cakes are beating the peaches. Kenya Moore's return be damned. But yeah, she was very sweet. So I was actually very, very honored that a Real Housewife endorsed my book that I told my editor, who understood. Yes.
So have you stayed in touch with her? Did you send her a galley of book number two?
Actually, just because we're still sending them out.
Right.
We're supposed to get one, so hit them up.
I mean, what up, guys?
I just sent her a book.
Oh my God.
So hopefully, because it's about student loan debt, and while clearly she doesn't have those problems, she can relate to me and my broke bitch struggle at Howard and beyond.
She might not have had student loan debt, but she does seemingly have financial insecurity because it's not hers directly, right? Like there does seem to be some sort of imbalance in the relationship with her mom, or am I totally off?
I think the mom obviously helps, which is, you know, if a mom can help you, take the help. I mean, I
feel like the mom underwrites.
I actually don't like how a lot of the other housewives bag on her about like, well, you did it at your mom's house, your mom's house. I was like, first of all, Ashley, you marry some man clearly for money. Giselle, you married that awful homophobic pastor, Jamal Bryan, because you like being the first lady and it was a rich church. What's her name? The one married to
Karen.
That's Juan Dixon.
Robin.
Robin. I always forget. That's a telling. but her hair is cute. you married an NBA player. What did you think that was? Like, how is this really any different from Monique? Clearly, girl. I think they give it a hard time because, but I will say Candace has, she sells hair. She does the pageant businesses. She works. I don't think she's like, I get what you mean. Like if your mom is still helping you, but she's at least doing something with the businesses. Cause I'm like, girl, Robin, you took forever to flip that house. Meanwhile, Candace still selling weave on the internet.
Right, you're totally right. And Robin made, what, like $30,000?
Like, if I needed a ponytail, like a swoop bang, I would ask Candace, what's up?
So what do you think about this whole mishigas with Candace and Monique?
First of all, I really wish the show was on right now.
Right? I'm dying. I'm so upset it's not on air. I'm dying.
I know a lot of people piled on Candace because she said, drag me, Monique. Yeah. But from what I read on the legendary message board, Lipstick Alley, a friend sent it to me. It seems like, I mean, I don't know, allegedly.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Monique does react violently. I actually used to be a really big Monique fan.
Yeah.
Because who else is going to take on Giselle?
Right.
With all that shit she be on. And also, Giselle is really pretty. She's like an evil Vanessa Williams. But those looks, mama is praying for her. But you know what it is? It's all that homophobia from her husband affecting her stylist.
Oh, no.
I think with Monique, I kind of personally don't like the idea of them getting extra violent. There are certain shows that you can watch for that, like maybe a Love and Hip Hop or even a Vanderpump Rules. But I don't really want that from my housewives.
Yeah, it's too trashy for them.
That's not what I'm signed up for, especially with, like, you're the one with actual money.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be, you know, not the grand dame because that's Karen, but I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with her actually getting that violent. It sounds like, from what I read, like she snatches her down and starts punching her. Like the cops are involved. This is not what I want from my housewives. And Maryland housewives are supposed to be like the sadity ones. If you're country, you know what that means, or at least Southern. Like I'm disappointed. And I actually like their friendship.
It's just so strange to me that now these women are suing each other, which I thought was not, that you weren't able to do
that. That's what I thought, too. I'm like, are you both going to be without a job? Like, I don't know how this works.
Because otherwise, Candy would have sued Phaedra, I would have thought. Wow. Like, so why are they allowed to sue each other, or at least threaten to sue each other? No, I think, like, papers have been filed.
And don't they both have to go to court the same day?
Oh, my God. Like, talk about looks.
I don't want any of this.
Yeah, I mean, I want them to yell at each other, and I want them to fight, but I don't want literal dragging. And I also don't want it to get to a position where we have to choose one over the other, because Monique should have been on that trip that they just took. It is crazy to me that she's not there, or at least she's not pictured. Well, like, that's insane.
Well, allegedly, the other girls were concerned. Like, don't bring that violence around me.
I don't buy into, I don't think of Monique as a violent person the same way that, I mean, Portia's different because she had a couple instances prior, but I don't think of Portia even back then as necessarily violent. I think of her as someone who can be triggered if provoked.
I am like a Portia. You don't want the smoke. Just we're trying to be above that. I don't know. Monique did pull that umbrella to Robin's neck one season. Remember that? She was like, I will choke you out. But, so that's kind of what it is. I think Portia can be triggered. Yeah. And might react violently.
Yeah.
But even in the Kenya situation, Kenya's an awful human being. She's blocked me on Twitter. I don't know why. She probably, whatever.
I actually have that as a question for you.
Oh, let's go to that. Why did you block me?
Well, I was like, I did my research, obviously. And so you had written a piece for Hello Giggles where you mentioned that she blocked you. It was a piece about...
You really did your research.
I really did, about all things Lanithia Leaks, which I'm going to ask you about. But why... So what preceded... the blocking?
I think she probably searched her name or saw a retweet when I used to actively live tweet the housewives.
Oh yeah, which is a lot of work.
Maybe that's what it was a few years ago. And it's one day I clicked on it and it was like, oh, I'm blocked. But I didn't care because I don't really. I'm glad Kenya's back on the show. I feel very bad for basically everything that's ever happened to her, but I'm not a fan. She's actually very popular among a lot of gay men, so I've actually been around men I'm interested in on dates, and they are very offended
that you don't love her.
Literally some he fond too. Well, he's that wasn't a date, but hanging out over the weekend, and he likes Kenya, and I was just like,
was that a deal breaker or did you overlook it?
I will say someone from years past who really liked Kenya, it was a sign of his character. And that didn't work out.
Oh my God.
This time, you know, I just think everyone makes mistakes. His overall character is fine. I think people enjoy the theatrics of Kenya Moore, which I get that. But I kind of think she's a really mean, nasty person. And I understand she's hurt. But she just goes below the belt too often. Like, I actually did not like how she treated Portia at the reunion. I don't like how she...
You mean
Portia.
The scepter?
Yeah, when she got snatched. Yeah, the way she talks to Portia. I'm like, I'm glad they're cool now, but she's nasty. Bullhorn.
Yeah.
I like Shay, but like, she's nasty. And God bless her with that man. I wouldn't wish that on her, though. Unlike Kenya, I'm not that mean. I'm a Portia. Don't trigger me.
So when Kenya was announced to return, what was your like first instinct, first thought?
I thought she was good for the show.
Right.
But if I can be honest.
Yeah, tell me.
This season so far, it's fine. But it's not like they made a big deal like, oh, we brought Kenya back. It's going to be this. Like, it's so far, it's kind of eh. Maybe it gets better. Like, I mean, I was it was fine yesterday. But like, Nene still doesn't film with all of them. I think this show needs a major kind of. I think they took too long to replace everyone a few years ago when it was like transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
It was good to bring in Eva, even though whatever. I actually like that Kenya pushed back on Eva last night.
Yeah, I thought that there was a good friction.
Eva can be fake.
And Eva, yeah, I don't feel like Eva's insults are as organic.
No.
Or if they are, maybe they are, but she also feels theatrical in a way that doesn't feel organic to the show. Like, right. Portia can be theatrical. Even when Kenya is being manipulative and she's, like, being shady for the show, like, bringing the doll, I still feel like it feels true to her versus Eva. There's something that's off there.
God, I'm about to say something nice about Kenya Moore. How I initially took Kenya Moore, because I was familiar with her doing cameos in 90s, like, missed all of that. I was like, oh, you're like Lisa Kudrow in The Comeback. This is for you. You're playing a reality star. This is your come up. I love The Comeback. I love Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, it's so
that was
good.
My association. So sometimes I think she can be too mean, but I do think Kenya is good for the show. I just wonder sometimes with the they added all of these women. Like, we don't need Yovana.
Why is Yovana there?
Because Nene has no friends. Like, Yovana's thirsty. I'm Yovana. I'm that bitch from Clark. I asked Clark people. I was like, girl, you weren't that. But whatever. Let me shut up. I just don't get her.
I don't get her at all.
Like, Marlo already fills that role.
Right.
And Marlo does it better.
Right.
I finally warmed up to Marlo.
Ditto. I cannot believe it happened.
I don't know how it happened.
I don't know how it happened.
When Wendy Williams was giving her a hard time last week, I was like, actually, Marlo's giving me everything right now. This Saint Laurent, this Balenciaga, this Swoop. She's raising her, like, she's a nice person.
Yeah, she's raising her nephews. She's the, what is it, Monty or something?
Whatever that word.
Mont, yes, or whatever.
I was like, girl, just say you auntie raising them kids. That's not going to make it dramatic.
But it feels like she's revealed. The whole critique against Marlo to this point has been, well, an answer to why hasn't she gotten a peach. I have heard different things. One is, production's nervous about her criminal history and arrest record. Second thing is, how is she actually making her money? Can she be honest about where that, like, more detailed than she has been previously about who's paying for the house, who's paying for the cars, who's paying for the mortgages, whatever else? And has she said homophobic things on camera before? And is that still a memory that's in production's head? You know?
I remember being angry at her about the homophobic comments, but I think, you know, a lot of women sometimes who, you know, have a lot of gay men around them, when they're angry, their true feelings come out. I think that for her was kind of like a moment where hopefully she did some interrogation. Hopefully the gay men in her life were like, this is what.
Right.
But I have no indication to, I'm willing to forgive her for that, because I think she actually finally apologized. It was ugly. It was wrong. But she's actually not the first, because frankly, a lot of women on The Real Housewives of Atlanta have said homophobic things. They've had infused homophobic storylines. So I don't.
Yeah.
Really
Juicy Joe alone.
Yeah. I don't feel like that critique is fair. Also about how she makes her money, Teresa Giudice, can we name Giudice, I'm sorry, whichever one she goes by,
or Giudice,
yeah, I forgot. She's,
so many.
I was like, is that, I don't know, give Marlo a peach. She does the work, and actually more often than not in the seasons that have been kind of like the last few years, Marlo's been often the saving grace. She's good on the show, and if you date one billionaire, I'm sure that's enough. He can buy you the house, he can give you the money to start your businesses, whatever.
I wonder, does she, from whomever her benefactor, Bo, whatever you want to call that person, I wonder how much of the reticence to giving her a peach comes from production versus comes from unnamed people saying, like, we don't want, or I don't want you to give any more information about this. It feels like, and the sense is that it's leaning more toward production. But
they seem very worried about her.
Right? And I don't, but they are also using her because she's filming she's obviously, as you said, filming more than Nene right now.
She might as well, like, for at least 2 years now, maybe three.
She's deserved it.
She might as well have been a full-time housewife. She is brought in to stir the pot. And in this season, she's actually telling us about her life. In the way that a real housewife was like, give her the peach.
I feel like she's being as emotionally vulnerable as we could want in from her, understanding that, like, the standard is different for her than anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not even a critique. That's just like, she's got a lot going on in her life, and some of it she's truly going to be private about, and that's her choice. But she's giving us a look at other aspects that we haven't received before.
And if you think she's a scammer, it's Atlanta. Join the club. Like, whatever. I mean, Phaedra, no shade. Eva moving around all them houses was a little suspicious. She has a regular ass house, which is fine. That's different. But I love Marlo's cute little townhouse. I want to see more of that. I mean, you had Kim Zolciak. Marlo is Marlo not just maybe a more aggressive, actual charged up at one point in her life? I believe in forgiving. Mm-hmm. She's done her time or whatever. She's kind of Kim Zolciak for a season.
Wow, that is an insult to Marlo.
Well, okay, I want to add an addendum.
No, but that is true.
A chicer. Yeah, she's much chicer. Like, Marlo, I am into what Marlo presents. Even if I didn't like her, I love the look. She gives me what I expect from a Real Housewife. The labels, the taste, the grandeur, like, all of these things. Like, she's really good. I cannot believe I'm being this nice about Marlo. I could not stand her, like, 2 years ago.
I'm in the same position that you are. I cannot believe it. But we are here. And we've come to this point.
And it's just, at this point, NeNe being mad at everybody. NeNe is still mad that she's no longer the center of the show. It's very Vicky Gumbelson. Except NeNe has enough. NeNe would never be a friend on the show.
Right.
Well, no.
She was once, but I think at this point she's decided she has enough clout that she does not want to serve that anymore. Before, there may have been a reason for it because she was filming other TV shows. Right. Like, she was doing scripted work. Now she doesn't have that excuse.
She's so mad she's back.
What? So in your article for Hello Giggles, you talked a lot about the current state of affairs with NeNe, and I think it was going into last season or going into this most recent season. How do you feel about her presence on the show now and her future?
NeNe was initially kind of like comic relief. Mm-hmm. It got a lot darker, mm-hmm. too mean. I think last season I felt nothing but sadness for her. Mm-hmm. And I want to enjoy NeNe on the show again in the way that I always have. But I think she's so angry and not honest about that anger. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes she doesn't really fit with the dynamic of the group anymore. So I just kind of would like to see NeNe blend in with the people more, actually film different scenes with folks. So maybe that'll come because I read about how she wasn't initially filming because of some challenges. But
The challenge is the closet?
Well, the closet or whatever. Yeah. Like that. That was really hard to watch. Like, you could feel the anger.
Yeah.
And they'd even show everything.
Right.
And then at the reunion, she just didn't want to answer any questions. She was mad.
She took no responsibility.
It's just like, at that point, why are you here? If you don't want to talk at the reunion, why are you here? So hopefully with the rest of the season, she kind of acclimates herself more with the group. But as of now, it's just kind of like she's standing on an island alone with Yvonne, who we don't care about. And Marlo, who really just wants to be with everybody. Like, where the action is.
Do you think that NeNe needs to be humbled in some way? I mean, what could be more humbling than going through a cancer diagnosis?
Well, my thing is, has she not already been humble between, like, the sitcom stuff not
right, being canceled?
Out, going to things with Greg, apparently even more infidelity, allegedly, whatever. Like, I would think she's already been humbled. But I just, does this, I don't know, I don't want her to leave the show yet, but I will say if it doesn't change by the end of the season, it's kind of hard to watch because there's no joy in her right now.
Right. It feels like she is angry that she still has to remain on the show.
Yes.
But while she's on the show, people should be paying her respect as the queen. But you don't deserve to keep the crown if you're not doing job.
She's like Cersei or like Nicki Minaj. Like, just kind of like, we get it. We paid homage. Are you still mad? Because technically the show is moving on without you. And it's already proven that it could. Yeah, she wants to be treated like a queen, but she just wants to look above and not really involve. Because Candy, at this point, is really the queen of the show.
Oh my God, Candy's doing
not,
so much.
Candy, Portia. Portia has really stepped it up. And I didn't like her as much either. I was like, girl, how you don't know about the Underground Railroad, given your lineage? That kind of. But she's funny. She shares a lot of she's good.
I feel like she's so emotionally vulnerable.
Right.
And has done so much and has given so much of herself and is also unrelated to that, but connected to why we love her, so funny.
She's funny.
And so quick in a way that I never, if you had looked at Portia, her first season versus Portia now, two completely different people, but I am truly obsessed with her. Like,
I love her.
I love her. I love seeing her on screen. And it's like, I look at her and then I think about NeNe and there's such a disconnect in the cast. And I wonder at what point NeNe just becomes a weight bringing everybody else down.
That's the best way to put it. I think she brings the show down in her current state. I even miss Portia and NeNe's friendship. Like, why did that have to sour? Like, Portia was able to bring humor back out of NeNe, which is why I liked her so much initially. She just seems so angry and just kind of, she drags it down.
And who does Nene have, genuine question, who does she have a friendship with or positive relationship with now, aside from Marlo, who we sort of have to take out of contention because she's not full-time?
Not Marlo. Eva is already kaput. She's mad at Cynthia right now. Even if she might be actually justified in the anger about Cynthia, because I actually think she has a point in that situation. But other than that, no one. She's kind of cool with Candy, but they never really hung out like that. She definitely does not like Kenya. Yeah, I can't think of anybody on the show that she really... And initially last season, at least it started off with, she was cool with Eva and Portia separately, but she was cool with them. But now, actually, I suppose we'll probably keep Nene over Eva.
The Eva thing, I like Eva on the show. I don't envision a time in which she will be a breakout star for me. And I feel like good in that she and Kenya can trigger each other, and that it doesn't seem to ever go into like violence or anything else, versus this whole thing that allegedly goes down at some point in the season where Nene tries to like spit on Kenya.
I have heard about that, which is like
not great.
Like, honestly, if you're doing that, it's time for you to leave. But she's not going to leave. But I think if that's what you're bringing yourself to, because I think, look, that's, I just think she's actually debasing herself if she gets to that point. You're trying to spit on somebody on camera. That's where we are.
Right. And there's so many other things that you could do. But the other part of it is, it's like one or the other with Nene. She'll either go that way where she's violent against a cameraman or whoever else, or she will totally disconnect from her cast, which she's done in the last several reunions, of like, I'm fine, I don't care, you can't get to me, I'm not going to give you a real apology or whatever. At least in the last couple episodes that we've seen, or at least in this past week's episode, she's been like, I'm not going to give you an apology, I don't I'm not the one that has to account. And whether or not I agree with it, at least I'm getting a sense of something that's not going to an 11 from like a physical perspective. And it's also not completely shutting down.
She's giving me Nicki Minaj, and that actually hurts me. I love Nicki Minaj, but it's just the anger. It's not, you're still stuck in that place. It's just too stagnant for me. She need to talk to Ayanla. No, they would end up fighting. Never mind.
Oh, my God.
That would end. I mean, I would watch it, but they would totally end up, like, probably fist fighting. And I actually don't know who would win that.
Did you watch the Ayanla Sheree episode?
I saw parts of it.
Oh, my God.
She dragged the shit out of Sheree.
She dragged Sheree for the whole fucking thing and let, what's his face, Bob, get away with everything, which I thought was crazy.
That's a pattern for Ayanla. I love using Beloved. God bless her for that. But she does that a lot when I watch the show. She tends to punish the women a lot more than the men. And like, Bob is a terrible person.
He is a terrible.
And he tells you he's terrible.
Right. When he's like, I would have physically assaulted you more if given the opportunity. It's like, what the fuck are you saying? And you're saying it on camera, but I know you've set it off.
I saw half of it at least, and I couldn't finish it. I thought she was really awful to Sheree.
Yeah, it was devastating.
Just Sheree in general, though, she really blew it. She should be... Do you remember the celebrity trainer, Jeanette Jenkins? She used to work out with, or allegedly, I don't know, but she had a really strong friendship with Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they still together? No, because Queen had a baby with somebody.
Yes.
Right.
I don't remember the name.
But yeah, but that was her long-term partner. Yeah.
I feel like Sheree should have set herself up as the Jeanette Jenkins of the South. Like, you do celebrity fitness, train all these people, and then you sell your Sheba Sheree sweats and athleisure. You could have beat, there's no competing with Ivy Park, but on your love, on your scale.
Yeah.
You could have at least sold some stuff at Kohl's by now, or Walmart or Target. This was a missed opportunity.
She could have had a little bit of what's Khloe Kardashian's show where it's like
that thing, yes. Whatever
where
that,
it's like you get a spinoff, but it's like
Revenge Body,
but it's not Revenge Body, it's like Next Chapter Body.
Right.
That would have been great for her.
It would have. She's missed out on millions of dollars. Like that to me, I would buy some Sheree tights. I would watch the Sheree workout video.
She did have randomly a year or two ago some sort of random one-off collection for Nordstrom of Sheree. It was like one shirt and it sold out in 2 seconds, and I haven't heard anything else since.
Like, the people wanted the
we want Sheree.
They're not inviting her back on the show.
I feel like Sheree made a strategic decision to align herself with Kim Zolciak.
And look what
and
I got.
And it
backfired like a motherfucker.
And that bone collector shit was stupid. I was like, girl, we read about your problems too much on the Shade Room, the whatever, Jasmine Brands, whatever site you can think of. Us, like, too much is going on in your life for you not to be telling us. And then you're aligning with Kim Zolciak, who did not need to come back. It was interesting for what it was, but.
Yeah, I think Kim buried herself, which I appreciate because she looked terrible. And it was one of those things where, like, you see a horrible person being horrible and you could, like, if I was Andy in that position, it's like you go up to you, like, you sort of confront them about the shitty thing, but you also just let them talk. Like when she's in the bathroom freaking out about why didn't I get a positive arc, and he's like, well, you didn't, like, we don't care about your kids,
and
like, you didn't present
racist
that
note she ended on at the end of her run. I just
Twitter created racism or something.
She's one of those people, respectfully, the white people who are like too comfortable, who like just think you around black people a little. Actually, no, it's the equivalent of Marlo. The minute, you know, you get angry, faggot flies out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. And Kim was kind of giving that towards the end. I forgot the social media stuff, and she got caught at the reunion. She didn't really understand. Then we had to give Andy try to give a lesson, but technically didn't the language to
right.
give the lesson or understand. It was a big mess. She can stay away. Is that show still on?
Yeah, I stopped watching it a couple seasons ago because I do not care. And I find it very sad when I look at her daughters and I'm like, oh my God, you look like your mother, and your mother is 40. And like, what lessons are we teaching? And all Kim right. said in an interview that like Ariana can now get her lips done. She's 18. And I'm like, that's great. Like, that's her choice and whatever she wants to do with her body, fine. But
my face is frozen like Kim after an appointment. like what?
Kim was also that person. You know, she was the only white woman on the show, and she said repeatedly, I don't see color. Like, that's some sort of compliment and not enormous sign of privilege, which made me as a white woman incredibly uncomfortable.
That is the worst thing to tell a black person, because it is a crock of shit. You know, this is random. I think Erica Jane would be perfectly fine on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
How so?
She's from Atlanta, and she's comfortable around black people. Like, I think there should... Well, not necessarily. It's not a... There could be another white person on Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I think someone like Erica Jane would be perfectly fine because she's Southern. I noticed she gets along with Candy. She gets along with Kenya. There could be another white person on the show who can fit in. I don't know. I just still want a little bit of a shuffle in the cast with Atlanta. I feel like some of the pieces align, but not quite right.
I mean, for me, I could not be happier that Kenya's back. I thought last season was a complete waste. And the energy that she's bringing, you know, the fact that she's showing up with the fucking, like, drum band.
That is so amazing. Like,
it's so perfectly look, Kenya.
Kenya Moore, you blocked me, but you belong back on the show.
She does. And I feel like she might have lost a piece of herself when she got married to Mark, mm-hmm. who seems like someone who wants her to shut the fuck up and be the kind of mother that he thinks she should be, one without a voice. And she's getting it back now.
A friend took me to Mark's restaurant in Brooklyn.
Oh, what's the name of it? It's like, is it just called Brooklyn? No, it's not called Brooklyn. It's Brooklyn something. It's a relatively generic name, I want to say.
Forgot the name.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The wing slapped. The waiter was trying to hit on the person I came with, and I was visibly annoyed. Very annoyed.
Oh, my God.
As much as he was flirting, I was like, all right, move along.
Goodbye.
Right? If anybody gonna turn that, it's not you. I've been waiting. Move. I'm glad Kenya's back. She's very much from Detroit. I have a very close friend who has a picture when he was a child. I forgot he was at church or something, and Kenya Moore's in the picture. I think it was like the Miss USA days. So
love.
Yes. So she's like Auntie Kenya then.
During her reign.
Yes, the queen or whatever it was.
Oh my
no,
God.
I'm glad she's back. I can say that. Vicky Gumbelson can go. I didn't mean to pivot like that hard, but she can leave.
So allegedly she's a friend of the season, except I have seen no indicator of any of the episodes aside from the fact that she might not be present during certain events, but she's discussed just as much as she would have been ordinarily.
She literally is talked about all the time. She's always talked about. She should not have. I think she realized. I saw that she said that she would never allow them to disrespect her like that again. I think she was just so happy to still be a part of it that she settled. And then it dawned on her, why would I be settling? Like,
yeah, I think.
But actually, now we. Yeah.
Her strategy has changed. Before, she was desperate to be on and would give them anything, which is something that Tamra actually mentioned in the most recent after show when she was like, yeah, I was super surprised that she wasn't proposed to on camera because that is something that I heard she was going to do and was using as like a negotiating tactic. Like Tamra explicitly said it on the sanctioned OC after show and they fucking showed that shit. So they are putting some pressure on Victoria. And it was surprising to me. And I thought to myself, did she not arrange her proposal on camera as a fuck you to them? Once they said that that wasn't enough to give her a full-time orange.
It's so good for her.
Yeah.
And God bless Tamra Barney.
For saying it.
That's actually hilarious. Whatever her last name is.
Judge. Now. Sorry, I mean, Tamra she was, judge. She's the judge and jury.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that, there's an ongoing conversation about what should we, how do we solve a problem? Like, how do we solve a problem? What is it from, how do we, what, Sound of Music? How do we solve a problem like Maria? Whatever. I can't. I broke my brain.
I just let the queer community down by knowing that. Thank you. My apologies.
And I let the hag community down. I'm too slow today. But how do we solve the problem of Vicky and Tamra? Because I have been one of the people saying Tamra should leave, Vicky should leave, but now I'm watching the season unfold and I'm like, should we just continue to dislike them but have them on camera because the manipulations seem so important
to the
plot?
I don't know if they both can go, but if I had to pick,
yeah,
I think Tamra still fits more along the lines of like creating conflict. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about Tamra is she is a shit stirrer, but she gives enough of herself, but you're still involved and she creates new conflict even within the new people. She's a lot more, to me, she's a lot better at acclimating herself with new cast members, mm-hmm, and still being relevant. She's a better OG to me than Vicky at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Vicky is, I don't know. I didn't hate Vicky the way everyone else did. She says awful things, not excuse it. But I don't know. I don't know if I need Vicky anymore.
City of Nope didn't change your mind? The cancer scam?
Oh, that was awful. No, I didn't. I mean, I didn't like her at that point. Right, but right. I thought she functioned on the show.
Yeah, yeah, I hear
but
you.
But at this point, it's like, okay, you're engaged again. You're going to get married. Okay, I'm glad your daughter's doing. I actually am very happy about Brienne doing really well. Mm-hmm. But Brienne don't even want to be there.
Yeah, it's like, bring her back. If Vicky was off, I don't know that she would allow her daughter to come back, but it would not seem unnatural for Brianna to come back for a random cameo at an event, yeah, that Tamra threw or something.
I even like how Tamra and Brianna, like, I love how they get along. I don't know, yeah, if we just need Vicky anymore. I'm sorry, Vicky.
I don't think we do, but I also wonder if we're going to talk about the change in how Portia has changed, but also almost more importantly, how the audience views Portia. The same kind of conversation should happen with someone who could not be more different, which is Kelly Dodd, who
frightens me,
who went from public enemy number one to building an audience that is Team Kelly, although that audience is split between people who are Team Kelly because they think she energizes the show, even if they don't necessarily agree with her behavior, or they do, and the people that are Team Kelly because they're anti-Trace Amigas.
I fit into the former.
Okay.
Kelly, that concerns me.
Tell me your thoughts.
She is good for the show, but the way she explodes, I mean, I write a lot about trauma in my book, so I don't pretend to be like a psychologist, but like something, she's very ticky boom.
Yeah.
In a way that she goes like from 0 to 3,096 and a half. Sometimes that's like great for great for television viewing, but as just a person watching someone, I was like, is she okay? Who's she talking to? I do think Kelly Dodd is really good for the show. It's just her blow ups are kind of sometimes I'm like, and she's fantastic on Watch What Happens Live because she'll say anything.
She makes me so uncomfortable when she goes on Watch What Happens. Well,
that's the thing. She makes me uncomfortable, so I don't know.
I get so nervous because I'm like, what is she? It like gives me actual anxiety because I'm like, what the fuck is she going to do?
That's where I'm stuck on. I think she's good for the show. Her behavior makes me nervous.
It's so interesting to me to think about Kelly's behavior because I completely agree with you. And you can tell IRL and as the show films, the level of dislike and essentially hatred that Tamra, Shannon, and Vicky have for how combative Kelly is.
Right.
And I was rewatching the most recent ep and then thinking about it, because Kelly is so reactive that she's uncontrollable.
Yeah.
And I would understand why Shannon said at BravoCon, like, it's unfair that Kelly is held to a different standard than we are. If I did one thing that Kelly had done, my world would collapse around me. And I think there's some truth in that. But also, if you're going to talk about someone who crosses lines, Kelly does so in an explosive, reactive way. But Vicky puts in the research. Vicky held...
She's so calculated.
Right, like it's completely calculated. She held over suspicion about Shannon domestic violence like it was bringing a carrot to a rabbit and saying, come nibble. Like she's... the scenes for next week, Gina saying, you know, Vicky's... I'm uncomfortable. Vicky's contacting the woman that Kelly got in a fight with. She talking about Eddie being closeted, like, or potentially being on the DL. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Kelly, I worry because she's uncontrollable. But I think anybody that is calculated in how evil they are, that's more reasons for me. Like, Vicky can go in a pile of the lost housewives or retired ones. I just, like, bringing up when she brought up the domestic violence thing at the reunion.
Yeah.
I grew up in a home where I saw domestic violence. I just find it really awful and shitty to, like, pull that out of your back pocket as a way to slap somebody with it. It didn't come from a place of genuine concern. It was tit for tat. And we all know Shannon, bless her heart, is so fragile. That just was, like, mean. And then the Eddie closeted thing, that is so despicable. Like, I get why Eddie does not fuck with her at all. He's fucked Vicky forever, I can tell. Her apology was fine, but the fact that it was calculated, and actually not to excuse Kelly Dodd's behavior, because Shannon's point is valid, but when somebody reacts that way because they just can't really control their issues and their... I mean, I get the sense from Kelly that comes from, like, her mom, how mm-hmm. she grew up.
Yeah.
Kelly is working through something. Right. I don't think at her core she's a bad person. I think she reacts violently and is arguably too old to be acting like that. So hopefully she can fix that. Because I still think she'd be entertaining on a show. Vicky is so premeditated and just mean. And I just find that really ugly and kind of despicable, because I don't know if that, like, yeah, it brings drama to the show, but at this point she's been there so long, there are other ways to be dramatic, there are other ways to create entertaining chaos, there are just other things to do other than to kind of attack somebody's sexuality in that really homophobic way, to use somebody's alleged domestic violence, like their beatings, as a bludgeon. It's just so nasty. If that, you know, does it make sense? Like, it's just...
No, you're completely right.
I just don't understand at this point, like, how low are you willing to sink to stay on here? And you would think getting, for all of the work you've put in, you still weren't even given whatever they get. Is it orange or something?
Yeah.
You didn't even get that. And you're still trying to sink lower. I don't know. Vicky can leave. I'm with Wendy Williams on that now.
You what?
Wendy is a big Vicky fan, and she's like,
she is?
Vicky. She loves Vicky. She had her on the show.
Oh, that's so weird to me.
She loves Vicky, but as recently, she's Vicky'd out. I remember that. She's like, wow. Vicky can go.
I love that Wendy watches the Housewives shows.
I love that she talks about them again, too.
Yes. And it's interesting to me that she and Nene have found each other again since she split with her husband.
Because that was a nasty riff.
Yeah.
Like, really, but I like that they get along.
Yeah. Although I feel like whenever Wendy has a feud, it's usually pretty nasty. You know, we just don't talk to each other.
That's
like, it's
true.
Usually multi-layered.
I will say that probably was her ex-husband's fault more so, but yeah. I like that Nene doesn't bend to anybody's will. Mm-hmm. She will go at you if she feels aggrieved.
Yeah.
Which I respect on some level. She didn't care who you are. She was perfectly fine not doing Wendy Williams' show because Nene was still going to make her money. I like that aspect about Nene. It's just, also, I hope that they're genuinely friends, because it gives industry friend, but I think they probably both need each other in a moment like this.
Yeah, I think it's good that they found each other.
I like that they get along. It seems like they might actually balance each other out sometimes, because I think when Nene did the show, Nene was pulling stuff out of Wendy that she probably wouldn't get because they're friendly.
Right.
And then when Kenny was on the show dragging Nene, Wendy was still like, we are friends, da 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 da. And Kenny was like, yeah, that's your friend. But I like that they found each other.
I also feel like entirely separate from Nene, Wendy truly dislikes Kenya. Truly dislikes her. I can see it in her eyes where she's like, why am I giving you a platform?
You know, because I don't know for sure, but Kenya is a stunt queen. And Wendy, for all of her theatrics, is more organic in how she does the most. Mm-hmm. There's not a level of desperation to what Wendy does. And I personally think sometimes when Kenya does stuff, it's like, it's really desperate. Like the Ben thing next week is cute. And well, I don't think it's cute. I think it's cute for the show, but it's kind of like, girl, you're annoying.
I think it's like,
Where I divide with the Kenya Moore fans. I was like, ugh.
I like kind of die for her right now. I think it's like, I think about it. I went to school for musical theater and it's the difference between BFAs and BAs where someone is just like putting in the extra because they are like theatrical with a capital T. And Kenya looks at things. It feels like sometimes when she's thinking to herself, how can I strategize? There's the level of like, wit, yeah. You know, humor, strategy in that way. And then there's also the, like, I'm picturing the art of the scene where she's directing it herself. She's thinking of the cinema of Atlanta.
Because at her core, Kenya is an actress.
That's
why I think of her as like the comeback. I'm like, you're getting out all of the acting roles. It's not shade. You didn't get certain roles after like, I don't know, two or three, whichever one you did. Maybe it was the original, sorry. But I don't think she gets a lot of acting roles. And I think this is her venue to kind of let all of that energy out, which I think is probably good for her, but sometimes I personally don't love it.
Do you ever envision a world in which Phaedra will return, and is that something that you want?
I actually used to really enjoy Phaedra, but she's never coming back.
I don't see how she's not the greatest liability that could ever, aside from Danielle Staub.
She literally is, to me, she's more of a problem than Marla will ever be.
Completely agree.
And while I understand, you know, some of the backstory, allegedly Phaedra was fed
by a producer, line, which I don't believe. You do?
Yeah. I'm on a mic, so let me see how I want to say this. Allegedly, the producer was the producer working with Todd on the Hollywood Divas, a TV1 show.
Okay.
And they had some kind of issues. And so he also was I like the producer in question. Like, I think he's done really great work. I do wonder, because apparently Phaedra mentioned it on the reunion. They just didn't air it that she said his name.
Right.
I don't know. You know what? He might have said something in passing, because that's what producers do anyway.
Right.
So I actually don't fault him at all if it's true. Phaedra still did it anyway.
And she lied about it. She told Portia explicitly that it was information she heard from Candy. Yeah. So either she was, let's give her the benefit of the doubt, which I truly don't think she deserves. But if we give her the benefit of the doubt, she was given a nugget and she like made a 5-course meal, and that involved specifically, right, explicitly lying and manipulating Portia. And regardless of whether it was something she pulled out of her ass, which I personally believe, or if what you're saying is true, she still knew that what she was doing was factually incorrect and completely potentially ruining someone's reputation and livelihood. Honestly,
she might have been given not even half of the information she claimed she was given, but pulled it out of her ass. I mean, for me, Phaedra was a liability when she's her clients on camera paying her in cash. And I was like, yo, is this what we're doing? So actually, to your point, I think maybe a producer might have said something. I mean, there might be a nugget of truth to that. But I think either way, she elected to do that. I actually can't see a real producer being like, let's start a storyline that Candy rapes people or some crazy shit. Like, right, that is actually vile. Okay, I take that back. No, it's just Phaedra. Phaedra's an evil person.
She is, and I feel like it's too... I feel like if we're going to talk about ethical, soulful darkness, she is the darkest... But I feel like it revealed such a deep, dark, evil wound.
Yeah, she's evil.
That it's like unforgettable.
Candy Candy hasn't always been my favorite cast member. I've piggybacked back and forth. Sometimes I think she uses the staff to do a lot of her dirty work.
Okay.
But overall, I enjoy Candy. And I will say I always feel bad for her in that moment, because I think her and Phaedra had a genuine friendship.
Yeah.
And to literally, because you're mad or spiteful, trying to get airtime, you would do that, not just even to a coworker or a friend, just a human being, you purposely, and God bless Portia, but we, Lord knows it don't take much to, I mean, probably not. She probably is, she's more aware now, but you know.
She grew a lot from that.
She's grown.
Yeah, but Portia before versus Portia after are two totally different people. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, fuck everything I just said. I don't blame that producer. That's fucking Phaedra. Fuck Phaedra.
Because that's the thing. Like, Phaedra knows. Phaedra. I mean,
fuck her what she did, but God bless overall.
No,
this is the Catholic in me. Recovering Catholic in me.
Yeah, I feel like she knew what she was doing because she reminds us every 5 minutes that she's an attorney at law. And also, she should have known better.
You're on a lawyer floating rape.
Yeah. Rumors.
I'm like, because Candy really wanted to put a hurting on you. I'm surprised she didn't go legal.
That's why it's so confusing to me that the women on Potomac are serving each other because Candy didn't.
Well, I think the women of Atlanta are grander in certain ways, okay. But not as pretentious. I don't know. Regionally, it makes more sense to me that the Potomac Housewives would go legal. I actually think I think the Housewives of Atlanta, if they had to fight, would fight on camera.
Yeah.
It's just the southernness of it.
I got it.
Versus the women on there who have like a certain, like the, no one on Atlanta is like the grand dame, even though I live for Karen. But no one
God,
is like that.
So much.
They don't have that pretension, that certain like elevated sense of self. Not that there's normal going legal, but you know, there's a haughtiness to the Real House of Potomac.
Totally.
Even though they're kind of like the trashiest one of them all. Oh my God. Literally in LA, you will love this. Was like having meetings about stuff right before I went into a meeting at Hello Sunshine. Shout out to Reese Witherspoon. Oh. Guess who I saw and me that I got in my Uber? Randomly Michael Darby walking by.
In a LA?
Yeah, it was so random. And I texted a few people that I appreciate. Why did they all say, did he grab your ass? I was like, actually, no, because I was making sure I didn't. He couldn't see
Holy
it, allegedly.
Shit. I wonder.
I was immediately creeped out. He's creepy.
Do you think,
I believe it? Yes.
Yeah. Do you think that he should still be allowed to film? Do you think that do you think that Ashley should have been fired? Removed, not asked back?
I won't say she deserves punishment for what he did, but it just is so, like that whole entire season, it's like, girl, you really don't believe this. You are really, and well, actually, no. Ashley Darby gets on my fucking nerves. Let me let it out. I'm getting more comfortable. The shit she did to Monique, trying to accuse her of being an alcoholic on camera.
Yeah.
Knowing that she raises children, knowing how Monique, like, you threw that out there intentionally. You were hurtful. When you brought up Juan, allegedly, Juan is so fine, by the way. Although Samantha Irby would stab me, like, I'm blind. But whatever, girl, he fine. You're outnumbered. The way she threw that rumor in her face, literally with a smirk on her face, just for sport. The way she threw Karen's, her raise by extension,
right.
financial troubles in her face. She's an awful person. She talks like Feifel from American Tale and gets on my fucking nerves. I don't like her.
Is it that she's an awful person or is that she knows the job that needs to get done and she's willing to do the work? Like, isn't there more...
That's generous.
Like, in the most generous way of thinking about Tamara knows what needs to get done and consistently stirs the pot. And I'm not saying I do not like Tamara, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I think she gets away with it more than she should. But don't you think there's a comparison in a good way?
I will give you that. But this is what bothers me about Ashley. If you call Tamara on her shit or you bring some mess to her about her or her family or something, she'll acknowledge it. She won't pretend it's not happening. Whether or not you believe whatever she comes up with, I think Tamara is still going to, Tamara's more forthright about a lot of shit in general, even if she's messy, because she serves a function. And to your point, Ashley does serve the function. Problem is, though, are you just now realizing your man has been grabbing asses since the show started, and you're playing dumb this whole time and talking about respecting people's privacy, blah, blah, blah. You literally got joy, visible joy, about hitting your coworkers with painful shit, literally pulled from the headlines, and you threw it at them and took joy in that, but when it turns around back on you on some shit that's actually far more provable than some of the things you've thrown at other people, you act all high and mighty. That's what annoys me about her. Or even the thing still about Candace, and I sound like a Candace now, but like even the thing about Candace is like mom paying for stuff. It's like, girl, look who you married. Look what you're putting up with. Why do you think we're putting up with it? It's not, is it really out of true love? Because he loves men's asses more than he loves yours, allegedly. I don't know, but I just found that really The fact that she kept jumping around in circles, acting like it's literally like the sky is blue and she's telling you it is a nice shade of turquoise, or like, I don't know.
It's like someone's
letting the gay people down. I want to have like a nice version of pink, but I couldn't get it out.
It's like someone's telling her the sky is blue and she's like, it might be green, but I'm looking at it holding my baby and that's all that matters.
Right.
She decided, you know what I'm saying? Like, she has lived a certain kind of life and strategy on the show that's been relatively consistent that I've always respected. And then this Michael thing happens and it felt like, especially in the reunion cycle, she threw it all to the wind because she was looking at two different paths. One is calling out the bullshit or acknowledging it in some way or believing it, which who knows?
Her world and
And B is staying with Michael and getting the financial stability, fine, but actually to me more the family. Yeah. Like where she was like, I'm going to put up with this because I'm desperate to have that kid, you know?
Yeah, and she's taking care of people. Look, I understand the realities. I mean, with Trump's America, then Clowney's probably going to implode or some shit, not to get pulled up. But I understand, like, girl, you need to pay the rent or have him pay it, mortgage, whatever. But it's just, I personally just never have any respect for people who dish and can't take it. And I think in that all season long, you've been dishing for years and it was finally your turn and you just turned a blind eye. For whatever reason, it was annoying to watch. And I actually just find her mean, like so, so mean. So I don't like her.
So speaking of dishing and can't take it or maybe not doing that, do you watch Jersey?
Oh, yes.
What are your thoughts on Jackie V. Tree?
I judge Teresa kind of like by a lower metric.
We get it.
So I just like, it's Teresa. Like, lower your expectations. Like, come on. What do you really expect from her?
Sure.
I wish she would learn not to hold such a grudge.
Jackie? Like,
kind of both.
Okay.
Well, I think Jackie has a slick ass mouth.
Okay.
But I think if she apologized, it's time to move on. But Teresa can't let things go. But also, Teresa's anger, I guess it will be soon, should be directed at Margaret. Although, no. Look at me.
It has been slightly passive aggressively.
I just remember what Jackie did. Jackie made a joke about the alleged young boy and that scene with Melissa. Jackie's foul. If you really want to start over, you wouldn't be saying slick shit like that. I will say, I still judge Teresa by a lower metric because you understand.
Yeah.
But one thing Teresa is, well, not with Danielle Starr, but usually Teresa's pretty good at clocking somebody that feels a way about her.
Yeah.
She might not be the most whatever in the room, but mama can read people.
Sure.
So in that situation, Jackie, you shouldn't have said what you said. Teresa has a right to be angry, but I do hope you both can move on because I'm actually exhausted with this beef. It's not that interesting.
Yeah, I agree that the beef operationally isn't interesting. I do like that they seemingly really genuinely hate each other. I love that tension.
I will keep watching it.
Yeah, of course. We don't have a choice. It's a binding contract. Once you start Bravo, you can't ever end.
Even with Jackie, like, you did write that about old girl and her kids.
Right.
Jennifer.
Well, Jennifer, I think, went too far. I think
Jennifer did go too far, but I got that she was annoyed. Jennifer just doesn't have anything to do.
Right. Oh, God, I love her this season so much. She seems to take such glee in, like, being a shitster, and I love it. She understands now the job that she has.
She's comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm meant to be the rich, messy person. Mm-hmm. That is my purpose. Yes, I'm cut up, done up, and can do it all. Free stuff. Yes, my house is grand, even though the decorations are a little...
They're terrible. Non-existent.
But gaudy. It's perfect for Jersey.
Yeah.
She's
a star now. She's gotten the attention. Her first season has aired. And she's like, oh my God, people know who I am. I love this.
She's the best new addition that franchise has had
in a while.
Really long time, because I was personally getting really, really sick of the family shit.
Yeah.
I couldn't take, like, when the Manzos left, I thought it would chill out a little bit, but it just never did. Mm-hmm. I do miss Dina.
Yeah, who is West Coast, got burgled. She got tied up. Remember that?
Oh my God,
I think she's engaged now to that guy. I don't think they got married, but they're engaged. She had a habit.
It's another rich man, right?
Yeah, I assume. I mean, she wouldn't.
I live for that. I live for Dina.
I love for Dina and her, like, crystals and, like, yes, all good things. But, like, she has a way about her. Like, she can definitely be passive aggressive and everything she else. Can, but I like, you know, it.
I love that she loves to drive her sister crazy.
Yes. And I'm that will never end.
I'm not a big Carolyn Mello fan.
How do you not love...
Her self-righteousness used to get on my nerves. And sometimes when Teresa would be mad at her, I kind of would get it. But maybe I was a little biased.
Really?
Like when Carolyn yelled at Danielle, I got it. But Karen, I mean, Caroline. Carolyn could be a little high and mighty sometimes, but maybe that was just me being a meanie. Really? I liked how she handled at the Watch What Happens BravoCon about Teresa. She was like, I would say hello. And then that was, you know, good. Because what is she doing now?
She just announced she's doing a cooking show with her brother, Jamie, whose wedding was covered on an old season of Jers.
Congratulations. I'm never watching that.
She went on her son, Albie's podcast to respond to, for like a 44-minute, however long it was, 40-minute interview or conversation, to respond to what Tree said on the Joe Out of Prison special, where Tree was like, Caroline maybe had something to do with this, blah blah blah. And it was I would say, even if you're not a Caroline stan, it's an ep worth listening to. Ask Albie or something. I haven't listened to a single other episode aside from it, but it's worth it. She is very, very direct. And the thing with Caroline is, even if she's high and mighty, she's smart. And
oh, she's smart. And
yeah, I missed that space.
She's more measured, actually. Like Kenny Moore.
No, that's again. Okay.
I think if Caroline were on the show, I don't really want her on the show, but yeah, if she did, she would bring a level of maturity, mm-hmm, and intellect, mm-hmm, still missing from the show.
Yeah.
I do think she could be a little high and mighty and self-righteous sometimes, but to be fair, well, not all the time, because I'm still like Dina. Like when Dina would call her out on stuff, I'm like, I agree with Dina, but that is still missing from the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I could never see Caroline again and be fun. I wish her well, though. I'm not watching a cooking show, but I hope. Where is it going to air?
I think on like YouTube, maybe.
Cute. I hope she gets the hits. Hope they get the sponsorship.
I'm totally going to watch it. I haven't watched it yet if it's up, but I plan to.
I want it to do well. I just will personally never watch it.
Okay, got it. You're not making a reservation at the Brownstone anytime soon, you will give it a spiritual 5 stars in your heart.
But
Yelp.
If Dina wanted to drink rosé, I would rush to that.
Wow. Some Fabellini, perhaps.
Yes.
So, listen, I can't let you go without talking to you about Married to Medicine.
My favorite thing in life, the Beyonce of the Bravo Network.
So, have you loved it since the first season?
I did not love the first season.
Okay.
My first introduction to it was the fight scene.
With Toya and Mariah?
Where Miss Lucy was banging her purse on Toya's head.
Oof.
Which, my thought was, why do they have doctors fighting on scrapping on Bravo? What is this? And then the second season hooked me.
Yeah.
That is the most, not even just Bravo. That's one of the, I think now more than ever, a lot of these shows are so formalic,
mm-hmm,
and people lean into that, especially in Atlanta, because mm-hmm they couldn't wait, bless their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I always say Atlanta is like, I'm from Houston.
Okay.
It's like Houston pretending to be LA. So sometimes it's like people trying to be Hollywood, but like their country.
Yes.
It's like goatees with pretension, which sometimes has its purpose, but not always. But I didn't like them scrapping. But then I got into the second season. It's one of the most honest shows on television. And they're very relatable. Like I can really literally picture every type of woman on that show that's in the cast.
Yes.
So it's on a, like, just really, really relatable. I love the show. This season, not wowing me like the last two have, but I still find it very much entertaining, more entertaining than many of the Real Housewives franchises right now. I felt that way for a while about it. I did not love Dr. Heavenly initially.
Mm.
I'm obsessed with her.
Agreed.
I was telling you a little before this, everyone should watch Dr. Heavenly's YouTube recap.
Which I've never seen.
Because they are actually better than some of the episodes
this
season.
I love her so much.
Because literally she just turns on a camera and she starts talking. And it's so, she's so fantastic because she clearly does not give a fuck.
She doesn't, but she's also like the shit with her reaction, even though it's incredibly hypocritical, to Daddy
you know, going to a strip club, and the anger that she had to her producer when they're like, can you talk about it? And she's like, I absolutely refuse to talk about it. And she looks like she's doing the thing that I always do, which is when you get really angry, you get teary, yeah, like no, you're going to cry. Like, she looks like she's going to burst.
The tears were a warning to back the fuck yes. off before she pops off. She actually, on the last recap, which was hysterical, was like 25 minutes.
Oh my God, I'm
going
to watch it right after this. I can't wait.
She said she wasn't sure if she was going to be able to recap the episode yet because she's still mad. She's like, I might be downstairs whooping somebody ass.
Holy shit. And also, Dr. Damon is my one true love.
Yes.
It's like, if you ask me which house husband I would want to genuinely marry, I just pivot directly to Married to Medicine.
He's actually, I could see why he was the one getting the most ass last night at the strip club, because he's like
he's so warm.
He's warm. He's handsome. If you're into the Dr. Damon type, he's literally the perfect.
Yeah.
I like him. And he's very sensible and like nice.
Yeah.
I can tell he doesn't really run anything around that. And he's fine with that. Because she just calls him dad. I was like, that's your kink. That's not because of.
But you know, like in the boudoir, he's taking charge.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And she likes that. She loves it. They have a good time. That's when that daddy really kicks in.
Right.
They're nasty.
Yeah.
I'm good for them. Like, they're. But I love Dr. Heavenly. I used to hate, and I've written about this, when they kept bouncing around Married to Medicine on different nights, like moving it to Friday,
so
moving
disrespectful.
It to Saturday. I was like, this show actually has a loyal following, and it's fantastic. Don't love the Married to Medicine LA spinoff.
That was not good.
It's coming back.
It is?
Yes. And funny, and I only know this because my niece... I'll just say is a pre-med student, and they filmed somewhere and she was so excited, but I thought it was like actually Married to Medicine, but I was like, oh, that's still cute. I mean, I'm sure you'll look amazing, but I don't love Married to Medicine.
I like the cast.
Yeah. They remind me of what I don't love about LA.
Okay.
And they're playing more up to,
right.
I just the Atlanta women, they're normal.
Right.
And what I do love about Dr. Heavenly's YouTube recaps is that she drops the fourth wall. Like, when she says Buffy yell, shut the fuck up, she said, do y'all really think I sat there and let Buffy tell me to shut the fuck up? Oh. And then we're like, Quas, like, y'all know we get paid per episode. Why you not going to invite her to that vacation?
She was very
defensive about Dr. Jackie. She's like, Jackie shouldn't have said it, but that bitch been talking about being infertile this whole damn time. She brings it up every fucking 5 seconds. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm not that far away. She really don't like Buffy. And she doesn't like Buffy because Buffy's kind of like the Yovana of the show. Like, when they brought out...
What an insult to Buffy, by the way.
You know, Buffy means well, but girl, when you hosted something and you have Jocelyn Hernandez, the Puerto Rican princess from Love & Hip Hop, and apparently they are... Like, apparently Buffy... Heavenly said this in a YouTube recap. Buffy and Toya had exchanged words online. So it's not like you didn't know her. So when you invite Jocelyn... Like, I don't mind the fact that... I know this is all... set up and to an extent, but that scene felt too obvious,
right?
It felt too thirsty,
yeah.
And it's actually what I don't want from Married to Medicine. Mm. I don't want Jocelyn around the medical community,
yeah.
I mean, I want her to get treated, but I don't want to watch it, and I want her fighting doctors. So apparently, because she was like yelling at Eugene, like ready to squabble, and she's a I don't know.
And Eugene is like an angel sent from heaven.
Yes.
He's so sweet and so wonderful. All the guys on the show,
sorry,
aside from Scott,
like, do you know what Heavenly said about one of the recaps about Eugene?
No.
She said Eugene is a lazy bitch's dream. She is always talking about how Toya doesn't
She's
work.
She's not wrong.
No, it was perfect.
That got, I'm like nervous for them with that house, with that two-story closet. I am nervous, but I also feel like they get it. They understand. They made some choices, you know, kind of restructured their lives, and they are now living in this bajillion-dollar mansion.
I'm sure they can. I agree with Heavenly. They can probably afford it because they built it themselves.
Right, but should they
have
to?
But when she's talking about custom furniture, she was like, all right now.
Yeah.
And she said, don't rely on this show. Because, as you know, Toya don't work.
I
know the show is technically work, but, like, they all have... The other women have multiple jobs.
Right.
Dr. Simone was a little too mean, has gotten meaner, though. Have you noticed?
I completely have. And I don't know why that is.
They're kind of sometimes jealous of Miss Quad.
You think that Dr. Simone is jealous of Quad? What, jealous of the freedom?
Sometimes I wonder, are they jealous that Quad is the only one who's really... Like, Dr. Jackie still does things outside of it. But, Quad has a whole nother show on another network.
Right. And which does not make sense to me.
But sometimes I think they're like envious of that. I do know Mariah to me can go. I know she is like, this is her idea. She initially put it together. But I think she sometimes brings a darkness to the show that's unnecessary. Because what I really love about Married to Medicine is that they're genuinely all friends, or at least they were. Mm-hmm. And Mariah, more often than not, is the person responsible for messing that up.
I would agree with that in past seasons. I feel like Mariah is now a spiritual friend of, and it's the best positioning for her, where plot isn't dependent on her.
But she wants it to be.
And she and Toya seem to have a genuine friendship now, which is shocking, but great. And I feel like it's better when she's not in. I agree with you. I feel like it's better when she's not in the thick of things, when she's like on. When she's sort of almost observing what's happening.
I don't mind her in that mother superior role. Yeah. And doing her shady Mariah shtick. It's fun. But her thing with Quad is so draining to watch because it's clearly never going to solve itself.
Right.
And so she just kind of ends up inflicting that on the entire group. Because like some of the riffs this season, I'm like, this is Mariah's fault. Indirectly, or actually directly. I still, when she says cocaine at the reunion, I wish I could actually make that magical. My text alert. If anyone has that audio, please send it to me.
Send it. What do you think of Contessa and Scott?
After last night,
yikes.
They're not going to make it. So I didn't realize she gave up the military.
Neither did I.
And becoming the head of, what does she want to become the head of? She wants to be Surgeon General.
Right. And so she quit school for him.
So she's quit two life goals,
right,
for a man who couldn't even apparently give her a few months to like rush through a program that probably in of itself was like, and I'm team Contessa.
Yeah,
Scott better figure it out.
I also never liked Contessa. I did not like her either. So extra, and the shit with Toya I thought was completely insane. And I think that Contessa actually believed it, which was like worse for me. But I feel for her now because, I mean, the way that they positioned themselves when they joined the show, it seemed like they had an incredibly stable, happy marriage. And that's why Married to Medicine is so good, because it removes everything. I mean, the realest scene, truth, honesty, anger, resentment, love, connection, hope that has ever happened on any show in the Bravo canon was the announced divorce and then marriage repair between Dr. Simone and Cecil. That was unbelievable. Amazing. I've watched it so many times.
But that's because they're actually friends and generally cared about each other. And they really all felt, one, just to save a marriage, but that was just to everything you said. It's like lovely watch. I did not like Contessa at first.
Oh my god!
But I've warmed to her. Mm-hmm. She seems to let her guard down a lot, and now I just feel really sad for her because I didn't realize. Now the whole storyline is basically you're a woman who gave up all of her dreams for a husband that can't support you enough. Maybe there's another side to that, but just from the optics alone.
And you're on a show about marriage.
And I still love that the R&B singer Donnell Jones's mom was initially the nanny.
Wait, who?
Do you remember the nanny that
the awful nanny.
Yes. So there's a singer, Donnell Jones from the 90s.
Okay.
Had a few platinum albums, had a song. His biggest hit was like, You Know What's Up, featuring Left Eye.
Okay.
It was so random that Donnell Jones's mama was like the cursing out Meemaw, Madea.
Holy shit. And has never been seen again. That woman was awful.
Oh, terrible. Like, you're trained. You really can't be put. I was like, how bad did you need a nanny?
How bad did you need a surrogate mother that you were willing to put up with this?
That's also what it was. It was her mom.
She was replacing her mom with someone who did not deserve to be considered in that role.
I was like, girl, this money should be spent on therapy and healing.
For real.
Because if that's your mom, you're going to need whatever.
And now she's replaced that mother. I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know who she's replacing.
I felt really bad for Contessa after last night.
Yeah. God, it's dark. I can't believe we're ending on it's dark.
Well, I can encourage everyone to laugh at Dr. Heavenly with me.
And also, if you do not like Married to Medicine LA, and I'm in that bucket, I have told people to watch Southern Charm New Orleans, which is a much better. I just replaced the name in your head because Southern Charm New Orleans is all about marriage and relationships and is much more interesting with a much more diverse in like personality, energetic cast than LA ever was to me.
I've been told to stop fighting the feeling and give in to Southern Charm New Orleans because I will watch now.
And how many? It was two seasons. I feel like the first season was nothing and the second season is good.
Well, I will skip to the second because actually, the first season of Vanderpump Rules didn't wow me. The second moving on is why I'm hooked now and cannot wait. I'm actually really sad it's not coming out in December like usual. In the January
it's now. It's January, yeah.
Broke my heart, but starting out 2020 with a bang. I'm fine.
Do you think, who do you think will last longer? Jackson, Brittany, or Tinsley in Coupon Cabin?
Maybe Brittany.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the Lord is driving her more. I think
the Lord instead of the promo code.
I think Tinsley, congratulations, / girl, are you sure?
Talk about giving up a career for a man who doesn't deserve it.
Right. I just, what's wrong with God bless Tinsley. Because honestly, I could take the mom. Her mom is amazing.
Dale is everything.
Dale could add Jill Zarin, add Dale, have them go out with Ramona and read her to her rights. Oh my God,
that's a full season in and of itself.
I'm in. Good luck. I'm worried, Tinsley.
Okay, you need to come back immediately because we didn't even talk about New York and we need to. And I feel like we could talk more about New Jersey forever and ever and amen. And I also,
if you have any bonus questions about New York, I'm happy to take them though.
I mean, okay, who's team Bethany Carroll?
Ooh. Initially Carol by the end Bethany.
Okay. And Lou, stay on the show, go.
Stay.
Jill Zarin, Apple or no?
Yes, Apple.
Sonia, will she be okay this season or is it a lost cause? I've been hearing rumblings.
Is she ever okay?
And ooh.
Oh, I did read a little something that apparently she's having a much harder. Sonia's really sad to watch because it's like God, that house.
I know.
That house is technically worth millions, but it looked like, well, you saw it.
Yeah.
I worry about Sonia and the way she still gets caught up in the rapture of the whole Morgan thing. It's over. She's another one. She could have remade all of this by now. She could have been Lisa. She could have been the Lisa Rinna of the Northeast.
The toaster, I would have. Who owns a toaster oven? I do not. I am still waiting for a Sonia Morgan toaster oven. It's unbelievable she didn't do it.
I would have gotten a toaster oven. I might have bought my mom something from the Sonia Morgan collection on QVC. Yes. My mom would have not known what I was talking about. Probably threw it at me if I told her after the fact.
Oh my God.
But I'm sure it would have been cute.
Yes.
Sonia's kind of, I get really sad when people waste their white privilege. Like,
oh no,
you know, girl,
sexy Jay. Oh no,
I'm worried about Sonia though. I'm gonna lift her in prayer.
Well, I don't even need to lift this episode in prayer because it was poetic and magical and holy from the start.
I've had an amazing time.
Tell the people where they can pre-order your book.
My book is, you can pre-order wherever books are sold. I do know certain outlets will not charge you until the week of.
That's nice.
You probably know which one. It's the really big one, but I support indie bookstores and everybody because I need everybody to stock me. But yes, I am on Atria Books, which is a subsidiary of Simon & Schuster. So wherever you go and punk your local bookstore to make sure mine is ordered and stacked up in the front because I do move my copies to the front if they don't do it.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
We all we got.
And where can people follow you online?
I am on Instagram and Twitter at Young, spelt the normal way, SINICK, Young Cynic. It's actually, you know, blogs used to be a thing.
Oh my God.
Young Cynic was my rap name, and now I'm just stuck with the name forever.
Yay!
I'm basically, Young Jeezy even gave up Young. I'll just be Young Cynic when I'm like 79. It'll be ironic. But yes,
I'm into it.
Young, SINICK. I'm around.
And guys, if anybody has a connection or wants to slide into Keyonce's DMs, tell her to unblock. You need to be able to bear witness.
Yes. I'm not going to beg, but Kenya Moore, if you feel like unblocking me,
do it.
Maybe we can actually reconnect, you know.
For real. It's a whole new chapter.
I like Detroit people, generally. Maybe we can actually figure it out.
She made that donation to Detroit Public Schools that NeNe never did. She's charitable. Did.
And you know what? Just
the worst
for Kenya,
thing NeNe's ever done.
I will twirl out of the door.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, it's snowing, so I don't want to bust my ass. I'll twirl later.
I mean, you're gone with the wind fabulous, no matter what.
That is the sweetest thing you could tell me. Thank you.
Guys, I am so excited to read the... Wait, I want to say the name of your first book again, because I Can't Date Jesus, Love, Sex, Family, Race, and Other Reasons I Put My Faith in Beyonce. I have... 2 flights on Thursday. I'm going to San Miguel.
Oh, yes.
Day. Did not Google anything related to the uptick in violence before I made my purchase. So every single person that I've talked to has been like, oh, do you want to get shot? And I'm like, I don't know.
I'm definitely going to pray for you later.
Thank you. If you are in a drug cartel, just rate the pod 5 stars on right. iTunes and just
don't maybe, harm you.
Don't harm me. It would be great. So I'm so excited to read the book on the plane. That's going to be magical. That is the only item I'm bringing with me to Mexico, because what else do I need? Yes. I mean, for real.
Put it on your Instagram that sells books. Your Insta story is enough.
You've
already done enough, actually. So
no, I'm doing that immediately after this. We're going to take maybe a selfie for IG. And guys, Twitter at Sarah Galley, Insta at Dame Galley. And of course, I'm going to be posting a ton of crazy shit while I'm in Mexico. So stay tuned for that. This was a total pleasure. I can't wait to have you back on. This was great.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And mazel on everything.
Thank you.
It's fairly exciting. Okay, guys, let us know your thoughts and feels. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.